Invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. That's on page 898. Our sermon text will actually be from Psalm 116, but this is a New Testament commentary on Psalm 116, especially that verse just read for the children, Psalm 116, verse 15. This is the account of John chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. That's on page 898 of our Pew Bibles. We're picking up the account of the death of Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus by the gracious power of Christ. John chapter 11, verse 32. This is the word of God. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for that gospel hope of the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the gospel privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for giving to us the truth of Scripture, the words of Christ. Thank you as well, even for the rich emotions, the gospel truth of the Psalms. And Lord, pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each of our hearts, that we would be hearers, doers, followers of Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the ongoing challenges for parents arises when they struggle to teach their children good manners. You know, manners may vary from family to family, even from culture to culture. You know, but I believe one shared manner in most societies is that of saying please and thank you. But even for us as veteran Christians, we tend to think, well, children struggle with saying thank you. But even for mature Christians, at times we find it challenging to give the Lord thanks. when we come to those hard lessons of our walk of faith with Christ. It's hard for us to give thanks in distress. It's hard for us to give thanks in the face of death. I invite you to turn in your Bibles there to Psalm 116. It's on page 510. That'll be our text for this morning. We've been considering this summer that theme of using the Psalms to help us to pray. And here Psalm 116 tells us how to pray even in the face of death. You know, Psalm 116 is the fourth in what is called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Psalms 113 through 118. Hallel means praise. Egyptian Hallel, they were praising God even in their times of slavery in Egypt. They were psalms that were sung during the Passover. They were psalms as well, even sung by Jesus and the disciples. Oh, you'll hear it this morning that after the celebration of the Lord's Supper, Scripture will go on to tell us that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. One of the hymns that they sang was one of the psalms, most likely Psalm 118, but Psalm 116 is one of those Hallel psalms. When a quick overview of Psalm 116, I believe that it was written in the aftermath of a crisis of the soul. Different ideas what is taking place here. It may have been a debilitating sickness. It may have been a dark sorrow. But I believe it's focusing on death and the importance of prayer for believers, all believers, even as we prepare for death. It's a very personal psalm, not just personal to me, but you take a look at the psalm, for those of you who like word studies, the personal pronouns, I, me, my, mine, are used 37 times in this short psalm of 19 verses. And another word we'll see is that word thanksgiving. We won't read that word thanksgiving until verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. But that theme of thanks fills this psalm. You know, we are to give thanks to God. You know, even as we face pain and peril, even as we are facing death, you know, here Scripture is teaching us about the priority of prayerfully giving thanks to the Lord in life and in death. And the truth this morning as we look at Psalm 116 is this, that may I pray with loving thanks to the Lord in life and in death. Well, how can I pray with thanks? First, we'll see there is to be thanks following distress. Verses 1 through 7, thanks even as we are facing death. Verses 8 through 15, and then the closing section, thanks flowing from deliverance. You know, begin there with Psalm 116, verse 1, thanks following personal distress. Psalm 116 has a unique opening. Here the psalmist gives this great declaration of love. I love the Lord. You know, that opening note and that closing note are vital biblical bookends. I love the Lord, and then he closes by saying, praise the Lord. You know, I love the Lord. A clear and courageous confession of love. You know, I love the Lord, that faithful, covenant-keeping God. You're going to see that name for the Lord. Again, I like a little bit of biblical math. That word Lord is used 15 times. Yes, the personal pronouns, but then that reminder of the name of the Lord. Now, why does the psalmist love the Lord? Primarily here because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. A lot of reasons why we ought to love the Lord. But near the top of the list ought to be that biblical reason, Lord, I love you because you hear my prayers. And it's not just that you hear prayers. He's heard my voice. You've heard my pleas for mercy. A lot of people praying, a lot of Christians praying, you know, but the Lord hears each individual prayer. And if that's not enough, verse 2, he inclined his ear to me. The God who created the heavens and the earth, our triune God, sits upon the throne. When we are praying, he tilts his ear so that he can hear us. He graciously invites you and me to call on him every day. You know, what are we learning here? You know, James Boyce summarizes it well when he says, they teach that God cares for those who are helpless, that he hears their prayers and saves them when they cannot save themselves. So there's that declaration of love, but there's a sharp turn now in verse 3. Turning from that expression of love, now there is a grave distress of the soul. You know, the cords of death encompassed me. You know, literally, you know, he is bound, cannot move. He's in deadly danger. You know, a good summary of it, it seems we've been turning there frequently in our study of the Psalms, is in the book of Jonah. If you hear these verses, Jonah chapter 2, this is when Jonah has been thrown overboard. God provided that great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights. We read this, Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. For you, you know, here Jonah's speaking to God, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Skip ahead to verse 5. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. You know, there's that picture of a grave distress of the soul. You know, death here is deliberately pursuing the believer, desiring to cause defeat, distress, and despair. He is suffering distress and anguish, and yet what is his response? Verse 4 of Psalm 116, then I called on the name of the Lord. You're going to hear that expression 4 times in this psalm. Okay, Lord, I'm in anguish, I'm in the distress, I'm facing death. Now, what's my first response after I tell you I love you? I'm going to call on your name. Don't know everything to do, God, but I will call on the name of the Lord. And there's a specific prayer. You know, don't think your prayers have to be pastoral prayers. You know, you got to pray for a while. Sometimes the strongest prayers are the shortest prayers. Not always. But look there what he prays. The last part of verse 4, Psalm 116. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. O Lord, you're the faithful covenant-keeping God. Again, I pray, deliver my soul. Enable me to escape from the enemy. Bring my soul safely home. He continues that thanks there in verses 5 through 7. You know, specifically five attributes of God that stir up thanksgiving for us all. You know, maybe at this point you're having difficulty connecting with the psalmist. I'm not going through distress, trial, tribulation quite that seriously. But we ought to always pray this psalm of thanks. You know, five specific things. Lord, you're gracious, righteous, merciful. You preserve or defend the simple. Word of explanation here about the simple. The simple can either be seen as those who are spiritually gullible, but it also could include simple-minded children or those with mental struggles. You know, prayer is not only for those who have their PhDs in theology. You know, prayer is for the youngest of children. And again, he thanks God, when I was brought low, when I languished, God, you saved me. You know, you see that connection there between verse 4 and verse 6. He prays, Lord, save me. And already in verse 6, he's saying, Lord, you did save me. Giving thanks to God. And so in prayer, almost spiritual self-talk, the psalmist to himself, verse 7, prays this, return, O my soul, to your rest. You know, Lord, I'm going through deep waters here. Wind is strong. The waves are high. My spirits are low. My strength is weak. You know, return, O my soul, to your rest. You know, God's sovereign provision of a refuge for a weary soul, a rock in the wilderness. You know, think of the words of Christ. You know, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we still need that rest today. Daily rest. Trusting in the Lord. There's a sweet old hymn of the faith. Not singing it this morning, maybe sometime soon. Jesus, I am resting, resting. Written by Jean Sophia Pigott of Irish descent. As far as we know, this is the only hymn of hers that made it into hymn books. You know, but hear these words. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee as thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. And then the refrain, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. And then the last verse, almost a prayer. Ever lift thy face upon me as I work and wait for thee, resting neath thy smile, Lord Jesus. Earth's dark shadows flee. Brightness of my Father's glory, sunshine of my Father's face, keep me ever trusting, resting. Fill me with thy grace. You know, there, as you look at this first stanza, there's a roller coaster of emotions. You know, a declaration of love, grave distress of the soul, great thanks and delight. You know, and at the very least, this is what this psalm begins to teach us about prayer. You know, pour out your heart to God in prayer. You know, emotion, sharing your struggles, your personal struggles, trials, is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good, it's a God-honoring thing. As you're praying with the Lord and to the Lord, you know, don't hold back. You know, even in distress, we sometimes think, well, God can't handle this, or he'll think less of me. That's not what the psalmist, that's not what God's word is teaching us here. You know, but he closes there by giving abundant thanks. Focusing on the attributes of God, those things that never change, but then to that assurance of salvation in Christ. So thanks following personal distress, but thanks facing a painful death. Now, beginning in verse 8, there is that note of deliverance and still of thanks. It's a follow-up statement of faith. After the prayer of verse 4, Lord, save me. And again, he thanks him, Lord, you have delivered my soul. You know, in fact, just in verse 8, you'll see what has been called a trinity of thanks. Three reasons at least to thank God, because he is a triune God. First, God, you've delivered my soul from death. Again, whether it's a near fatal disease, dark pit of depression, but it seemed like death to the psalmist. You've delivered my soul from death. Secondly, he thanks God, you've delivered my eyes from tears. Lord, I felt abandoned. I felt in agony. And Lord, you've delivered my eyes from tears. Then third, my feet from stumbling into sin, stumbling into a deep pit of despair. And he says in faith, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, for those of you who read through your Bibles, Scripture tells us about a man who walked with God, Enoch. You know, but still there is despair. Again, still the roller coaster of emotions. Verse 10. He's not in heaven yet. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. In the original, Psalm 116:10 is a difficult verse to translate. Really, the question there deals with the emphasis on trust and faith and believe. You know, where's the emphasis in this verse? There's a translation of this verse by Roy Clements, a Bible commentator. He puts it this way. In my moment of crisis, I discovered I was a believer, a real believer, not just a nominal church goer. You know, I believed even when I spoke. You know, Lord, the circumstances are grim. The future seems uncertain. And yet, Lord, I'm still going to walk in faith. Faith in you. Even though he is greatly afflicted. Just so we get a scriptural sense of that, think of David, King David, after the death of his beloved son Absalom. Could not stop weeping, even over his rebellious son. Think of the grieving father of the 12-year-old daughter, told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you can read it in Mark chapter 5. The grieving father who went to Jesus to heal his daughter, and before Jesus could get there, his daughter died. You know, I am greatly afflicted. Maybe you identify with that statement this morning. And in unholy haste, we hear the psalmist then go on to say, verse 11, I said in my alarm, in my haste, in my fear, all mankind are liars. Lord, I'm about ready to throw in the towel. I'm all alone in this. Everyone around me is lying to my face. They're deceiving me. You know, and that's what despair, depression at times can do to us. But he goes on. You know, with this declaration of thanks, you know, the sorrows and struggles have not gone away, but verse 12, you know, what shall I render to the Lord? You know, even in the midst of this heartache, hopelessness, you know, Lord, what can I give back to you for all your goodness to me, all your blessings? I will lift up the cup of salvation, not only as an offering. Remember, it was part of the Passover meal. But it's a reminder, Lord, you've given me the cup of salvation in contrast to the cup of your holy wrath against sin. Lord, you've given me what I don't deserve. You've given me grace and forgiveness and hope. And I will again call upon the name of the Lord, publicly pay my vows in corporate worship. As we then see Psalm 116, verse 15, the verse I read to the children, you know, it's almost like a Mount Everest here in a range of high mountains, low valleys. You know, precious in the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious, splendid, prized in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, take that apart for just a moment. You know, first is that word saint, lest you think, well, this doesn't include me. You know, what's a saint? You know, you don't have to perform a miracle to be a saint or to be voted in. A saint is one who is chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, one who is called by the Holy Spirit to saving faith in Christ, one who has been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ. A saint is simply a sinner saved by grace. So every Christian, according to Scripture, is a saint. You are a saint. The Lord calls us all saints when we're trusting in Christ. You'll see that in the New Testament. Paul, writing his epistle to the church at Ephesus, writes it to the saints. Yeah, it's a church that's struggling, but they're still saints. They're trusting in the Lord. And so the question then is, why would the death of God's saints be precious in the Lord's sight? You know, it's the end of our distress and pain. Doesn't that give you hope? No aspirin in heaven. No painkillers. It's a start. It's not only the end, but it's a start of our new life with our loving Lord and risen Savior. That loving nearness of God, even in the face of death. And why does the Lord give this prayer to the psalmist, or this verse, this gospel truth? You know, the impact of this prayer for the psalmist and for you and me is this. It ought to remove all fear in the face of death. It reminds us as well of God's unfailing love for us in Christ. It calls us even to rejoice, even in the midst of great sorrow and struggles. The world will never understand that kind of joy. You know, this past week, Lynn and I enjoyed a sweet visit with the flock of family. I lost track how many family we saw. Lynn's the accountant, she'll remember. Not much rest, but some sweet sharing. We didn't get to all the favorite restaurants we wanted to go to or the places, but one thing I asked Lynn to do, and she graciously concurred, was, you know, I wanted to go visit the cemetery, same cemetery where my father and my mother's parents are buried. Went there last Monday, you know, three things I do when I get there. We don't linger long, but, you know, it's one of those modern cemeteries, you know, the no headstones, everything's flat, so around in that neck of the woods, you have to take time, cut away all the grass that can grow over the markers, do a little bit of reminiscing. You know, but the last thing I do is, we do, is we pray. You know, giving thanks for God's gift of a gracious legacy of faith in Christ. It really is a time of rejoicing. Didn't remember that verse when we were there last Monday, but could have proclaimed, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Yeah, we grieve. We're not in heaven yet. You know, but in the Lord's vision, in the Lord's eyes, he can truly say, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." I believe that's what Jesus was teaching us in John chapter 11 with Lazarus. Jesus delayed getting to Lazarus's grave till after he was dead, 4 days. Then he called Lazarus out by name. "Lazarus, come out." You know, but even with Lazarus's resurrection, it's not a clear picture of our own resurrection. You know, he came out bound with linen strips. And one day, we who are in Christ will be raised from the graves because of Christ's resurrection. He was raised for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And so for prayer, you know, as we're using this psalm to help us pray, always pray with thanks. You know, and then Psalm 116, verse 15. You know, recite this verse at a birthday, even a first birthday. You know, it's a verse we can remember when we're visiting loved ones in the nursing home or in the intensive care unit, or when we're going to the funeral homes, or when we're at the cemetery. "Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." But finally, there's thanks flowing from a powerful deliverance. And just briefly here, again, we see that thanksgiving there in verse 16. "O Lord, I am your servant. Lord, I'm here. I'm not in heaven yet. Lord, I'm here to serve you, to worship you, to bear witness to the saving love of Christ, because you have loosed my bonds." You know, what a glorious expression. Remember when Lazarus came out of the grave, Jesus had to command the people, unbind him and let him go. You know, but when Christ raises us from the dead, causes us to rise, there will be no grave clothes. You know, he has loosed us from the bonds and chains of sin. You know, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And so I will offer to you, the psalmist writes, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And for the final time here, I will call upon the name of the Lord, even in public worship. Hear this quote and a couple of applications. It's from Matthew Henry. He writes about this psalm, "Praising God must not be the work of a day only, but our praises when we have received mercy must be often repeated, as our prayers were when we were in the pursuit of it. Every day we must bless God as long as we live, and while we have any being, we must praise him, spending our time in that work in which we hope to spend our eternity. Public mercies call for public acknowledgments in the courts of the Lord's house." And therefore, the psalmist can end with that note, "Praise the Lord." Lord, even as I go through trials, distress, even as I face death, Lord, I'm going to keep praising you because you're a God who hears and answers prayer. Because you are a God who loves me in Christ. Because you are a God who prepares me not only for death, but you prepare me for life. Life eternal. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do praise the Lord. May praise always be on our lips and in our hearts, because you are indeed a God who is gracious and righteous and merciful. Lord, but we especially praise you today and every day, that you are the God of our salvation. Thank you that we are your saints, your beloved children. Thank you for the assurance of a home in heaven because of Jesus. Thank you, too, for the privilege and power of prayer. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.